Portage Health Foundation is proud to introduce Do Good in the Copper Country. This new program recognizes the incredible volunteers that make the Copper Country community such a great place to live, work, grow, and play. If you know an amazing volunteer, the time to nominate them is now. Find a list of volunteer opportunities in our area and see a list of previously recognized volunteers at dogoodcc.org. Volunteers can come from any organization, event, or purpose, but must be nominated by someone like you. Nominate the next Do Good in the Copper Country volunteer at dogoodcc.org.
Welcome back to segment two of Copper Country Today. I'm Todd Van Dyke, and we're glad you're along this morning. Of course, we're brought to you by the Portage Health Foundation. Find out more about them at phfgive.org. There's a new leader at the area's largest library, the Portage Lake District Library. She's been on the job for a few months, and I thought it would be time to introduce her to you and to learn a little bit more about her myself. We welcome in Katrina Lindy Moriarty, the new library director at the Portage Lake District Library. Katrina, welcome to the program and welcome to the Copper Country.
Oh, thank you so much, Todd. It's been a pleasure so far to be up here.
I have to ask you first and foremost, because I always do this with people who move into the area, what attracted you here?
Well, I actually got kind of a sneak peek to the UP last summer when I hiked the Picture Rock Trail. It was my first solo backpacking trip, and I wanted to kind of do something that reminded me back of home, originally from Eugene, Oregon. But I've been calling the Midwest my home for the last 8 years and kind of want to stick around.
Because we're a little bit off the beaten path here, we admit that.
Yeah.
And so I'm all of a sudden kind of curious about what brings people up here. Where were you before? What's your background?
All right. So before accepting this position, I was a library director for a smaller library in Monticello, Wisconsin. And so that was kind of my first job out of grad school and really enjoyed it and the crew there, but was looking to kind of take my career to the next level. And when I was kind of keeping my eye out, the position here opened up. And after, you know, remembering that trip I just had, the more and more I dug into the area, the more of this kind of gem of location I noticed. There's so much going here that I knew that I would want to stick around for a while, and it had spanned all my interests, and I wanted to kind of slow down and take a breather from the crazy world, as it were, and it just worked out great.
And we have a library that has a modern facility and a good basis for programs, I think, that you inherited, so that probably helps, too.
The view is excellent as well, if you haven't seen.
Oh, I mean, yes.
Just get to look at the canal all day long. I mean, we get to work all day long.
Yeah, you get to work while looking at the canal all day long. Just watch out for the birds that fly into the windows.
Mm-hmm.
That will happen on occasion. You'll hear a clunk.
We have been able to add people watching since the pier now is open. So it's been great kind of coming into work, and all of a sudden there's a boat out my window.
Yeah. Not a lot of libraries that can make that claim, I suspect. So what is your philosophy as a library director? The most recent philosophy with the Portage Lake District Library has been that it is about a lot more than books. There have been a lot of services going on, a lot of classes going on, things of that nature. What philosophy do you bring into this?
Mine kind of aligns alongside that and of the board. And for me, people are at the heart of what we do, both on our staff and through our doors. So I'm all about making sure that our library is bridging those people-to-people connections and within the community. I'm looking out for partnerships that we can align with, and also making sure that we have the references and services that people need throughout their day.
Libraries, wasn't that many years ago that people were looking at them and saying, well, all the books are going to be digital and nobody's going to be printing books anymore and we're not going to need libraries anymore. This one, at least, and others in the area too, I think, are kind of proving that vision wrong.
Yeah, well, and I think one of the jokes I always like to make is Google will bring you back a whole slew of answers, but the librarian will give you the one that you're probably looking for. And I think that that's kind of true of what we do each day. But yes, you are completely right. We are still a library of books and materials and things, but the emphasis is kind of definitely keeping up with a more popularized collection in literature and movies and other media types. But we even have things like makerspaces and tool labs and seed libraries, all things that just make those hobbies and experiences more accessible.
Do librarians still do what you mentioned a moment ago? I mean, when I was young, and I'm a very old person now, but when I was young, you could call the library and say, hey, who was James Garfield's vice president? And they would go look it up for you and tell you. Do librarians still get asked to do that kind of thing? And do they still do it?
We do still field those questions either over the phone or via email or even at the desk. And we kind of, it's a little bit of a, we're jacks of all trades and masters of none sometimes, except for the printer. We definitely are getting better with the printer. But it is true, and we try to spark that lifelong learning, you know, even beyond literacy, into all different types of skills. So that's kind of the wonderful thing of working with a librarian is we will ask clarifying questions. One of the best examples I was given is I had somebody coming in looking for information about bats. Through some clarifying questions, I realized that they didn't want information about bats in terms of, you know, their varieties and species and all that, but how to get rid of them out of their attic, which is two different answers, I'll say.
Yeah, it certainly is, and I have, frankly, dealt with both in my lifetime, so you could have called me, I guess. But now let's talk about the library, specifically the Portage Lake District Library. Do you have new ideas that you're bringing in that you'd like to initiate over the next year or two?
Sure. I think the last couple months, it has really just been me keeping my ears wide open and listening to not only my staff, but what I'm hearing from the public. I made it a point to go to various community meetings with the townships, with the municipalities, and also our school districts and local groups, not only so that people can kind of put a name to a face or vice versa, but just to see, you know, what everyone is doing. My role as the library director is to take that information that I've been gathering and think up different ideas to address the needs that I see. And I think that's kind of the fun part of being a new person in a different community is you can kind of see all the different moving pieces and then align yourself with, you know, what's missing or what's the next step that can really get this machine going in a more efficient way. So the ideas that I have are mainly stuff that I've inherited. One of that is a renovation to the building. It's going over 17 years old, which is, it's aged well unless you look down at the floor at the carpet, which is bubbling throughout. So we are making sure to tackle that first thing in the spring. We're already working with a library vendor on that, have samples in-house, and I'm very excited to get that on display once I have a little bit more solid information for the public. But that's one big thing that I inherited that the previous director, Dylan, started. And it's just kind of making sure this is as seamless of a transition as possible for the public. I'm not looking to do anything too crazy, but just, you know, take what knowledge I can bring to the table and align it with what's already there.
Now, you also inherit a relationship with the Hancock Library, which is located at the Hancock School and has been operated for the past several years now by the Portage Lake District Library. Is that relationship going to continue?
I certainly hope so. I did a presentation at the last board meeting on kind of what has been done over the last 4 years of this contract with the school district, and I can tell you every single statistic across the board has gone up. If you'd like to look at that presentation, I uploaded the slides and the supporting document to our website, pldl.org. But, you know, one of the ones that stand out the most to me is from the first year all the way to now, we have seen almost a 400% increase in our door count numbers at that library. So I know that that's going to be coming up for a vote at the next, hopefully at the next board meeting. And we hope to continue that partnership because it just is so positive across the board for all involved. And I know that the students really love having Bonnie up there too, and just the presence that their makerspace and different aspects has. So, you know, for example, they have technology that will retroactively digitize your information, such as your VHS tapes, your cassettes, digitize any old documents or photos so that you can preserve that history within your family for years to come, especially if it's starting to degrade. So all of those are, you know, just kind of shows how important libraries can be to their community. Hancock specifically.
So all of those tapes that I have of my son playing soccer when he was 8 years old, they could actually be turned into DVDs?
Yeah, absolutely.
At the library? Really?
At the library for free.
Well, this is cool. See, I learn things when I do this program. That's why I do it.
Well, that's kind of the hard part of all of this is I can go on and on and on about all the services. And that's the trick on our part as librarians is not only to keep the front in and all the books coming in and out and in and out, but to anticipate those needs and get that information out to the community.
Let's talk about library membership here for just a moment, because I know everybody can be involved with the Portage Lake District Library. Obviously, those in a specific area can get their library cards basically for free, correct?
That's correct. So with how our funding structures work, we work off of millages. And so the millage that I currently hold for the library, well, not me specifically, but the library, is for the City of Houghton and the Township of Portage. That means that those individuals can create library cards and borrow our materials. But anyone is welcome through our doors. So if you want to attend our programs or read in library, you have to do nothing for that. If you do want a membership, we have it at a rate that is comparable to the property taxes that are paid through the millage by those individuals. We have those at quarterly, half a year, or annually. One program I do want to mention, though, is our LEAP cards, which some of the parents and guardians might have heard about. That program guarantees a full access library card to any student that's in the Houghton Portage Township School District, regardless of where they live. And so that can be a really good avenue for people to kind of come through our door.
Schools of choice families can take advantage of that, can't they?
Absolutely. But just because we have those kind of barriers, or I wouldn't say barriers, but just logistics in kind of our part as a library district, the wonderful part of partnering with Hancock is they do not have the similar constraints as we do. And so anyone can get a library card there and request library materials from any of our sharing libraries. So it kind of depends on, you know, what your cup of tea is, perchance.
Talking with Katrina Lindy Moriarty, she is the new director of the Portage Lake District Library. You mentioned the other libraries in the area. There are some. Calumet, of course, has a very active library program going. There's a library in Lake Linden. There are libraries in there's a library in Lontz in Baraga County. How do you interface with those libraries, and can people who are involved with those libraries take advantage of some of the things that you offer?
Yeah, so a lot of those libraries are part of an interlibrary loan program. Otherwise, we just call it delivery. And so people can make requests for materials that we don't have either in stock because somebody else has them checked out, or just because it's a little bit more niche and it fits a different community, but that means our patrons still have access to request those. And so that can either be done online through our catalog, or our staff are more than happy to help as well. But I've even requested things that were outside of our kind of cohort group through WorldCat, I've actually gotten books from the Library of Congress before, from Alaska, from anywhere in the United States, which is just mind-boggling to me to have all of that at your fingertips.
Yeah, it's really a powerful tool. And I suppose that there are a lot of people who don't really even know that it exists. So the next time I need a book from Nome, I'm going to call you.
Okay, so
we'll bring in something on dog sledding or something of that nature. So let's.
We can even do it in other languages, too, if that's your preference.
Oh, oui, merci. Très bien. And that's about as far as that goes. Let's talk about the importance of reading, Katrina. One of the programs that the Portage Lake District Library has had for quite a while is called 1,000 Books Before Kindergarten, which seems like a big hill to climb, but it's really not that big, and it's so important to get those kids started reading early, isn't it?
It is, and I think it's also just getting the words out there, exploring different aspects of it, and just building up that vocabulary. Reading out loud is a fantastic way to do that, but so is asking open-ended questions and working on fine motor skills, on taking a project and being able to break it down into its parts. So it's really, it's kind of a foundation for building a lot of other skills. And a great way to kind of explore those building blocks is through our weekly story time every Wednesday morning.
Yes, 10 o'clock, isn't it?
At 10 o'clock, yes. Yeah. And even looking at adding a secondary one, just because, you know, we're kind of bouncing back from the pandemic and we're seeing that need within our community. So fingers crossed that we can make that happen soon.
What have you seen as the effects of the pandemic? Obviously, you weren't at this library while it was going through things, and it's pretty much back to its normal schedule now. But across the library system and where you were working before, were there long-term effects from the pandemic? Did people get out of the habit? Did they fall away from libraries?
I think it depends person to person. I think when you had that much time on your hands, a lot of people were returning back to reading as kind of that comfort of being able to control pacing and even explore a whole new world, which is usually what I do with my fantasy books. but I think on trend, we are seeing a lot more engagement in our digital materials. So what's tricky too about that is getting the word out about them. So we have huge digital libraries that we have access to for ebooks, audiobooks, magazines, movies, music, and you know, highly rated journal articles and so forth. And it just takes a little bit of nuance to kind of get into, but our big one is through Libby. And so if you are looking for kind of ebooks, audiobooks, that kind of content, that will be your best spot. And it works just like your regular library. There's so many electronic copies. You can get on the hold list, have borrowing times. And we had such an increase of virtual cards get created where we could get these virtual cards, you know, into people's inboxes, not quite into their hands, but just have them explore the digital array that we were able to offer.
You, at one point at the Portage Lake District Library, there were a lot of computer access opportunities that people had. There was a language course. There were things of that nature. Is that all still in place, or has that kind of fallen away? I haven't heard much about it.
Yes, we do have various databases that we subscribe to. The best place to look for that would be our website. I know that we were even looking at adding some this last rotation, but we also do keep up on that technology demand. We have, I believe, 10 computer stations within the library, but we have just received new laptops and Chromebooks that we were just getting spruced up in some software on so that they can circulate both inside the library and to people's homes so they can take those devices home with them to do their work. We know that the digital divide is still a huge part within our communities, and we want to make sure that we can bridge that in any way possible. One specifically is we now have a stellar virtual print option. So long as you're on our Wi-Fi, you can find our printers and print straight from your own devices. which just breaks down even more barriers.
Because a lot of the world has moved almost exclusively to computers at this point, and not everybody has one.
That's true. I mean, if you haven't tried to apply for a job in the last 5 years, it's very tricky to do so unless you're submitting those applications online in a very specific format. So we can certainly help with that process. We also have a technology class that's offered via Michigan Tech students to help with seniors and others that might want to brush up on their tech skills. And you can find that information on the calendar of our website. I believe that should be starting back up in the next week or two.
I've been wondering about that because that was one of the things that disappeared with the COVID problem. A lot of things, obviously the in-person meetings at the library had to be stopped because of the COVID-19 problem. But go to pldl.org, that's the library's website, and you can find out about things that are going on. You're actually having fly tying workshops and things of that nature going on at the library. And it's great to see all of these sessions coming back in person, giving people opportunity to learn all sorts of stuff.
Yes, we're certainly reaching out to our previous partners and inviting them back into our doors. What's great about that is another part of that spring renovation that I've been talking about not only includes carpet, but 3 new rooms being added to the library within the space. So we're going to get a smaller one to two person study room, a kind of collaborative room, and then a conference room in the back that can hold larger groups. So all of those dynamic spaces are going to kind of allow for more meetings to happen at the library, which is a huge need in kind of our hybrid world now.
Katrina Lindy Moriarty is the new director at the Portage Lake District Library. There has been a library kerfuffle downstate. One public library had some books in it that people objected to. They stood on principle and did not remove the books. The people defunded the library. The library has since gotten all sorts of money from elsewhere. And I don't want to go specifically into that situation. But talk to me about how libraries make decisions about what books they are going to bring in and put on the shelves.
Sure. It's quite a dynamic decision, and every library situation is unique. I can speak a little bit on what we do here at PLDL. So it kind of starts with the policy that our library board passed. We have a collection development policy that includes bringing in new materials, evaluating donations, and also how to evaluate materials when they may need to go onto their next leg of life, as it were. On staff, we have a dedicated selection committee that oversees individuals oversee different departments within the library, and that's through either personal expertise or that they've done continuing education in those areas. We, you know, much like anyone that does any purchasing, you know, we do it a little slightly blind in the sense that, you know, we only see what the publishers are putting out about that material or the history that we know with that author. And so we're pulling on this wealth of information and knowledge on staff and the continuing education that we pursue to make sure that we are on top of current trends and that we are making sure to evaluate not only our own biases, but also the needs of our community by looking at circulation statistics and other emerging trends from kind of our cohorts, both in the regional and national level. So it's a little bit of a process, but we really do try to do our best to make sure we're bringing in quality materials that are covering the needs of all of our readers.
Because on one hand, there are books that everybody agrees are fine in the library, and there are printed materials that everyone, I think, agrees have no place in a library. We don't want child porn in the library. We don't, you know, to take it to a ridiculous extreme. But there is that gray area, and it's got to be challenging sometimes to navigate it.
Yeah, I think so long as nothing is violating the First Amendment rights, that's kind of the benchmark that we look at, is if it's not in violation of that, which the one example you gave is in direct violation of
absolutely.
That. The kind of quote I like to lean on is by a librarian at from the Brooklyn Public Library, and they said, "A truly great library contains something in it to offend everyone," and that includes me. That includes you. But we want to make sure that anyone who comes through our doors on the opposite side of that quote can find something for themselves too. So it's kind of that's the gray zone that we're working in, something to offend and something to please, and the whole spectrum throughout the middle.
All right, Katrina Lindy Moriarty, the new director at the Portage Lake District Library. We'll wrap it up there, but again, if you want to know what's going on at the library, visit pldl.org. And Katrina, again, welcome to the Copper Country, and thank you for being a guest this week on Copper Country Today.
Thank you so much, Todd.